Jason was playing and just looking over the congregation. You know, what a joy to see God's people excited about talking to one another and being with one another. It's a real blessing. But to be able to stand up here and observe it, you know, it's really a unique thing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in God's house. You know, yesterday we were at that picnic and it was such a beautiful, glorious day. But then today we're here and it's even more glorious. Because now we get a little preaching. We get to sit under our pastor's tutelage and hear the word of God preached. I look forward to Sundays. How about you? Amen? I do as well. Let's turn to number 184. We'll turn to 184. Now, I didn't pick off good... these songs are all wonderful, but they're slower, and there's something to really make you contemplate about the Lord. 184, would you please stand? Everyone stand, if you can.
Thank you for it. We pray for those who can't be with us today. Pray for those who are traveling. Give them safety. Good time of refreshment away. And we pray that they receive a blessing from you today. For those who can't be here because of health, we ask your strength, your encouragement to be upon each one. Our desire would be to see each restored to health and strength, but we need that in your hands, knowing that your will is always best for each one of us. Give us a good day, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated. Amen. Yesterday was a nice day out there. Mm-hmm. Some brethren still have some issues concerning some of the games that were played. I can't help that. I think I have to have some people sign waivers next time before we come out there and do anything. I'll tell you what. There's some competitive people in this church. I'm not going to name no names, but it's more than one. But amen. We had a good time. Thank the Lord for the weather that was out there. It was absolutely gorgeous. No snow. Didn't rain. The wind wasn't blowing in on us. So we're 1-for-3 this year, but it was a blessing to be out there. Lord willing, next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, next Tuesday the 14th, we'll pick up again with our brief Bible study. Thank you for those that came out this past Tuesday. I believe it went very well. Lord willing, again, this Thursday from 6 to 7, we're going to try to do the public outreach. There's a young lady that came out with us last Thursday night. She just came out of the blue and said, "Can I hold signs with you?" First, I was a little skeptical of it. How many people come up to you and want to hold a sign with you? But I think she was sincere. Melanie had a good opportunity to talk with her, not only there, but later on as well. They were talking through the evening. So keep her in prayer. She's going through some things. She struggled with some things, but thank God for that. Just keep that young lady in prayer, that God continue to help her to see the things she needs to see. And then, Lord willing, Sunday the 26th, I'll keep announcing this, we're going to have a members meeting Sunday the 26th after the morning service, just to discuss a few things, just some physical things that we're trying to do around here. And so I just wanted to bring it before the church. So Sunday the 26th after the morning service, just some ideas that individuals have brought to my attention they'd like to do. So I just kind of want to put it forth to the church and see what people think, and we'll go from there. But that'll be Sunday the 26th. So that'll be after the morning service. So thank you for being in church this morning. Thankful that our church is standing. Thankful that our church is not underneath 15 feet of water. We got a place to meet. I said it in the Sunday school hour, how quick things can change. You know, how quick things can change, and things that can change that we never thought could happen. I don't know how many interviews I saw concerning people in Philly and New York City and over New Jersey say, "Well, this never happened over here." Yeah. But so now, as I said at Sunday school, to be about our Father's business, to be ready at all times for whatever may happen, especially spiritually and then also physically, that we're about our Father's business. So we're going to be in church this morning. Good to see you. Amen. Let's continue.
Also, I want to apologize, you know, I forgot to welcome our visitors here this morning. I see three new faces anyway, and I'm glad you're here. And our congregation is glad you're here. I hope you've been made to feel very welcome this morning, because we certainly are appreciative of it. If you would, let's turn to song number 207. 207, and as you're turning there, I would, if you're physically able, please stand with me and sing Sooner or Later, page number 207. sooner or later. Sooner or later, we'll be united with our Lord. You know, in a reality, too, a lot of people are going through a lot of things, and I know that. And my heart breaks, but we'll say, I can't take this, but you know, God's the only one who knows what we can really take. Aren't you thankful you have a Savior that's walking through whatever problems you have? Praise God. Let's turn to our last song, hymn number 570. 570. Be still, my soul. 570.
Serve you until my sinner boy like me. But I read in the Bible that old, old story, how he pled for my forgiveness while he was dying on the tree. Now please forgive me. I need your grace to make
So, question this morning is: how much sacrifice do you want to give the Lord? See, in Old Testament, if you brought a sacrifice, you just didn't put half the lamb up there. Jesus just didn't put half of himself upon the cross; he put his all on the cross. And you know what the Lord desires from us is our all on the altar, all on the altar. Of sacrifices laid all. If you take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter number 1. We're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter number 1. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, here in Romans chapter 1, if you're able to stand, please stand. Romans chapter number 1, and we begin in verse number 1, Romans 1:1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to pause there for one moment. You want power with God. It starts with a spirit of holiness. The Bible says here, by the resurrection from the dead, verse number 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, and your love towards us. Father, I pray you move me out of the way, dear God. Lord, I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in, dear God. I don't even know how to talk, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your words would be spoken this morning, Lord, that we'd glean from the scriptures, dear God, what you'd have us to glean, Lord, that it would help us to walk closer with you, to please you, to honor, to magnify, and glorify you. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I saw earlier this week, I believe it was this week, to where 13 of our soldiers died over there in Afghanistan, and they brought them back on planes. But some individuals were upset with our president. They were upset with our president. Now listen, I was a soldier. I served my country. I was overseas. And they were upset with him because when they were unloading the caskets off of the airplane, apparently, now I didn't see the whole video, so I don't know. But apparently he was looking at his watch. So a lot of Americans today feel disrespected because our president, soldiers being returned from the battlefield and coffins, and he didn't seem to care and just kept checking his watch. Yeah, I don't like that. But how much worse of offense is it for Christians to check their watch during a church service? Brethren, now look. You weren't going to find more of an American right here. Well, let's not get on our president. If we're like this, don't show up to services, show up late for services. When's the service going to be over? To the Lamb of God. The one that rose again from the dead. Now, I'm not disrespecting our soldiers. But what's more important? Brethren, I'm telling you, this ain't popular. We'll get all over the president. Yet what about the things of God? When we disrespect him, look, and I'm not about disrespecting that flag. I'm not going to disrespect that flag. I wouldn't disrespect if a soldier was coming out there. I'd be at attention. I'd do the honor guard. I'd love to do the honor guard. I did a lot of research on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier because it fascinates me and what the steps that they take and how they turn and how that whole process goes. I know all about it. So I'm not here this morning to tear down our country or our flag or our soldiers. But I'm saying sometimes we put too much emphasis on politics, on the president, and how he conducts himself. But when it comes to us and our Christianity and serving the Lamb of God, whatever. Brethren, it is the truth this morning. It is the truth. We'll jump all over President Biden because he's checking his watch because soldiers are coming off and it's disrespectful. And I agree with that. I agree with it. I think it is disrespectful for the President of the United States to do so if he did so. But what about our conduct to our Lamb of God? Is it not disrespectful? Brethren, we're living in some serious times. I believe the days are getting darker. It is not going to get better. It is only going to get worse. But what can get better and what could help us is our walk with Jesus Christ, that no matter what goes on around us, we can have joy, we can have peace, we can have happiness, and we can have comfort because we serve the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. We have victory. Look, too many Christians are living in a state of defeat because of where they're placing the emphasis, and the emphasis on the wrong things, and we wonder why we're in a place of defeat. Brethren, I speak in love. Now, one thing you're going to realize as we go longer, if the Lord tarries and I'm allowed to be your pastor, I will not twist your arm. If you're looking for a preacher to twist your arm to get you to do the right things and I'm not your man. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to try to flatter you. I'm not going to try to lift you up and say how wonderful you are. No, you need to figure out things where you're at with God. And so often, a lot of times you say, well, doesn't a preacher see things? Shouldn't a preacher say something? Sometimes God won't let me say things. Sometimes I want to say something, but God won't let me. God says, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Well, but Lord, what about what will others think? That shouldn't a preacher say this, or shouldn't a preacher do that, or shouldn't a preacher talk to them? Why isn't the preacher doing that? Maybe because the preacher's been told no. You see, brethren, we serve a king. Do you understand this morning? If you claim to be born again, if you claim to be a child of God this morning, you, and I've said this 1,000 times already in this church, we have a higher calling. We have a higher calling. We have a higher calling. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 5, for what purpose? Look what the Bible says. By whom we have received. What have we received? What did Paul receive? He received grace and apostleship. Now, none of us today are receiving the office of an apostle. But what we have received is in the middle part of verse number 5, for obedience to the faith among all nations. God requires for us to be obedient to the faith among all nations. It doesn't matter where you would live in this world, God requires for his saints to be obedient to the faith. For what purpose? For his name's sake. For his name. Verse 6 says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, obedient to the faith. You know, a lot of Christians have, not just Christians, individuals around this world, they have a problem with being obedient. One of the part of the definition of obedience means the act or forbearance to act, to be in submission to authority. When you're obedient, basically you're submitting yourself to whatever that authority is and whatever that authority requires. But we have a nation today that despises authority and despises obedience. Brethren, I talked about it in Sunday school, things that God puts the emphasis on, not what we should put the emphasis on. The Bible says, take your Bible and flip over real quick to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. Obedience to the faith among all nations. Obedience. Obedience. Look what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13 says. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, this is what I'm going to say here. Some will say, well, why? Now, there's a difference for me as a preacher. This is how I take it. Now, I know others might take it differently, but this is how I see it. When it comes to church and the things of God, God gives the rules on it. I ain't having a state come in here and dictate how we do our services. It ain't happening. If we get kicked out, we got to meet in the woods. I got to go to jail, and I don't say that lightly. God help me. I hope it never comes to that. But I must do what God says to do. Whatever the consequences might come. Now, I hope I'd be faithful if those consequences ever came. I hope I would be faithful. But I'm saying you go with God. I'm not going to have the state come in here and dictate, well, you can't have church. Now I'll say this. I'll examine every situation as it comes up as a preacher. But we're just outside this building, and I'm in Walmart, or I'm at the doctor's office, or I'm out and about on public transportation, I'm out there in this world, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. You want me to wear a mask? I'll wear a mask. Now listen, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by who? By him, God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Look, who has set up our president? God. Look, that man ain't in there and God's up there in heaven going, what happened? God's not up there in heaven saying, what? They didn't count those ballots right. No, God knows exactly what he's doing. Maybe we deserve the president we got. I said in the grief class, and God keeps putting this thought back in my head, why not President Biden? What good is there in us that we deserve something better than him? Why not him? Well, preacher, I'm just so good, I'm so wonderful. Have you read your Bible? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does the man have a soul? Absolutely. What's more important, my rights or his soul? Brethren, I'm telling you, brethren, and I sit in the same right seat here, but God keeps ringing my bell about this thing of attitudes. He's ringing my bell. Leave the things that are God to God. You be concerned with your own life and how you can live and glorify and honor him. there be matters higher than us. And David said, I exercise myself not in it. Brethren, we're going to a new world order. We're going that direction. It's got to be that way according to scriptures, and God set it up that way. So who am I to get an attitude by the way that things are going, because God set it up? So ultimately, my attitude is towards God, not to the man behind the White House down there. Do you see this morning? If God put him there and then you're mad that he's there, you're not mad at him. Ultimately, you're mad at God. Well, see, we ain't going to take that far. God put that man there. You know who Peter, he's writing, when he's writing this letter here, who he was under? Nero. Peter was under Nero. The one who burned Christians at a stake. Now, last I checked, President Biden ain't burnt nobody. He ain't lined the streets there on Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House with the bodies of Christians up on a light pole and lighting the street by their bodies dipped in wax. Nero did that. Nero lined the streets of Rome with Christians. He would put them up on a post and with wax and set them on fire, and they would be the street lamps for the roads in Rome. And look what Peter says. Verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing, how do you put the silence of evildoers? By well-doing. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Look, we live in an ignorant society. How do you put them to silence? By well-doing. Not by complaining, not by murmuring, not by tearing down authority, but by doing well things, good works, and you having a right attitude. People are going to see a difference with that. You're going to make them scratch their heads because everybody else is full of complaining, full of murmuring, full of tearing down authority and what God has set up. And Christians are just as bad for it. Look at verse 16. As free and not using liberty. Well, it's my liberty. It's my right. I have a right to say something. Oh, really? As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Well, I have a right to say this. So you're hiding it underneath the cloak. You're hiding your maliciousness under the cloak of liberty. That's my right. It's my right as an American. Don't hide your cloak of maliciousness under your cause of liberty. He says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Look what he says in verse 17. Honor all men. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. He's not talking about Jesus right there. He's talking about the king that he was under. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. Look what's in the scriptures. This is one of the reasons why the Bible is going to get banned. I'm telling you, the King James Bible is going to get banned. You're not going to be able to have it because of verse 18, which implies that there's still servanthood out there. But look what God says in the scriptures concerning servant. If you're a servant, servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Brethren, God help us to get on the right track with him and to put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. Now, do I agree with everything going on in my country? Absolutely not. Would I like somebody better than that? Absolutely, yes. But he's an authority that God has established, that God has set up and God has put there. And it's none of my business to speak evil of him. I have no right, biblically, to speak evil. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. Verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be judged. Leave these things with God. God knows how to judge. We're going to go through here on Wednesday nights. We're studying this book here. God judged the angels. God judged the world with the flood. God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says in verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Be careful, brethren. Look, God is God. And he gives a warning here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. He says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in lust of uncleanness and despise government. One of the reasons God was dealing with them is because they despised government. That means to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of, to abhor. What did they abhor? They abhorred and they had a low esteem for government. Look what it says next in the verse. Presumptuous, which means bold or confident or arrogant. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. What is a dignity? Anybody that holds a position of rank or elevated office, either civil or ecclesiastical, giving high rank in society. You remember what I said in Sunday school that we need to watch our mouth? We need to watch what we say because the Bible says presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Not even an angel can bring a railing accusation against governments and against dignities that God has established and set up, brethren. Serious stuff this morning. Why have we lost power in the church? Because we despise government, we're presumptuous, we're self-willed, and we speak evil of things we know not what of we speak. Now, I know this ain't a popular message this morning, but it's needful. There's areas and realms that are not our business. There's areas and realms that's God's business that God has set up, that God has going forward today because of what God knows needs to happen. We want power with God. We want clarity of mind. We want to have peace. We want to have happiness. We want to have joy. We want to have victory in Jesus. Let us be careful of how we speak on these things. The next thing it says in Romans, it says that we're called to be saints. You know what our calling is? Our calling is not to correct our country. Our calling is not to get our country back to what it used to be. Our country has been a mess for about 200 years now. Our economy has been a mess since like 1850. You see, the seeds that were planted way back then, now the fruit is on the trees. The president of the United States is not the problem. Brother, I'm telling you right now, President Biden is not the issue. President Biden is not the issue. Nancy Pelosi is not the issue. Kamala Harris is not the issue. The issue is the church. The issue is the church. The issue is the born-again believers who are not living for God according to God's word. The issue is the church because the church is now living in this gray area and has lost its holiness, has lost its power, has lost its prayer life, has lost its fasting life, and put its emphasis on everything else but God, and then we want to point the finger at somebody else. Brethren, I love you this morning. I love you. And not only am I just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Where's the emphasis? What do you place the emphasis on? Chris Welton, what do you place the emphasis on? God's called us to be saints, Romans chapter 1. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called. Called to what, Lord? Called to be saints. What is a saint? I don't need to receive sainthood from the Pope. I'm already a saint. If you're born again and you're a child of God this morning, you are a saint according to the scriptures. You're not a saint because some man on this planet gives you and has the authority to issue you sainthood. No, you're a saint because you're a child of God. Well, what is a saint? A saint is this, a person sanctified, a holy or godly person, one eminent for piety and virtue. Any true Christian as being redeemed and consecrated to God. You are now a saint and a soldier for Jesus Christ. Do you have your orders this morning? What are your orders? Everybody that's saved in here this morning, if you love God, what are the orders God's given you? And are you obeying them? We all got our own set of orders. Are you about your Father's business? Are you about your Lord's business? Are you about living for Him? Are you living a sanctified life? 1 Corinthians 1:2 says this. Flip your Bible over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look what Paul says here in verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Look what the Bible says here. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. We are called to be saints, and we are to be sanctified. Sanctified means this, made holy, consecrated, set apart for sacred service. Now, brethren, I want you to get with me on this thing here. Now, look, when you something's sanctified, something set apart, holy, consecrated for the use of God. Now, in the Old Testament, what you had to sanctify and what you had to set apart that would be pleasing and honor to God was an animal, a clean animal. In the Old Testament, you set apart, you sanctified, you consecrated, and made sure it was pure. You made sure that it was perfect, that there was no blemish, that there was no spot on that. And then you took that animal, if it was a lamb, and you offered it up unto God. That animal, as we're going to see, could have no spot. It could have no blemish. It could not have scurvy. It couldn't have, there could be nothing wrong with that animal when you offered it up unto God. You say, preacher, what are you getting at this morning? We're called to be saints, therefore we need to make sure that we're living a sanctified life, that our life and what we offer up to God, God will accept. Now, if you're saved, God will accept you because you've been born again of the Spirit of God. Your spirit is now made new. It's revived. Your sins have been purged and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, but God has still left here with these sin-cursed bodies. We do not have a new body yet. I still have the same body I had before I got saved, but my spirit is born again of God. So that if this body were to die right now by a heart attack, this body would drop right here, but my spirit, which has been born again of God, is going to be caught up into heaven to be with the Lord forever. So my spirit is sanctified, set apart, and consecrated to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But He has left me in this flesh, which is not consecrated, which is not sanctified, and is something that I have to battle with to the day that I die or the Lord calls me home. That's where a lot of Christians get messed up. They say, why I keep, because you still have flesh. So my point and principle this morning is, we need to bring this flesh into subjection to where the sacrifices that we now offer up still in these bodies is acceptable to God. It comes down to doing, the Bible talks about in Corinthians, by purging the flesh and the spirit. There's things that you can do in your flesh that are unclean. There's things you can do in your flesh that are unclean. You get down and out, and you drive down to the bar, you're saved, you walk into the bar, you drink a couple beers, you start getting drunk. You don't lose your salvation because you got drunk. But you're making your flesh stink in the nostrils of God. Do you see? You're not going to lose your... Look, if I walk down to this bar down here and I lost my mind, I go in there and I get me a couple beers, it doesn't mean I lose my salvation. But it does mean I can be displeasing to God, and the sacrifices I offer, unless I make it right, it's going to stink in his nostrils, and he's not going to accept it till I make it right with him and get it under the blood of Christ. Do you understand? So there's things you can do in your flesh that will taint and make your sacrifices that you offer to God unacceptable to him. If you're doing things in your Christian life that aren't right with God, and you come in here and you try to sing praises to him, he's not accepting it till you make it right. You come in here and you try to sing praises to God and pray and offer these things to God, and you got animosity or strife or envy or bitterness or anger towards others, God's not receiving it. It's a tainted sacrifice. It's not acceptable. See, we just think if we come in and we just pray and lift our hands and praise God and the songs move us and we shed a little tear, that God's going to accept it. You can cry all day long. But if your heart ain't right with God, he's not accepting it. He's not moved by your tears. He's moved by your heart. Brethren, these things are serious with God this morning. You want power with God? You want help with God? You want victory with God? Take your Bible, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You want all these things. You want victory over some things that you're struggling with in your life and your Christian walk. You want comfort. You want happiness. You want peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Look what Paul says, the very last part of this letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine others and see if they're right with God. No. That's what a lot of Christians like to do, though. Let me examine you to make sure you're right with God. Sister Barb, I just don't think you're living quite right for God, so let me help you out a little bit here, sister. Let me take that little mote that's out of your eye while I hit you with this 2x4 coming out of mine. No. It's not my job to make sure Jason's living clean for God. It's not my job to make sure you're living clean for God or you're living clean for God. That's not my job. That's none of my business. I preach the word, put forth the principles. The rest is on you. Now, if you out there sinning and I see it and you're walking into a bar and you're walking out drunk, well, yeah, now I'm going to have to talk to you as a preacher to a member in the church. Yes, but that's it. Blatant, open sin. Other than that, it's between you and God. Put forth the principles, you walk with God. Paul says, examine yourself. What does examine mean? To inspect carefully with a view to discover truth or real state of things. A lot of people don't want that now. I don't want to really know what's going on because then I might have to do something about it. I don't want to know the truth. Tell me, I'd rather for you to tell me a lie. Just tell me a lie so I don't have to deal with the truth. Why don't they come to the light? Lest their deeds should be reproved. Why don't a lot of Christians want to come to the light? Want God to work? Because that means that they have to do something then. You're going to have to walk with God. Well, I'd rather you just do it for me. No, examine means to inspect carefully with a view to discover truth or the real state of things. Now, I talk about that Too Many Unknown Soldier. I don't know if any of you ever watched anything on it or studied anything on it. Their uniforms are meticulous. You have to be a certain height and a certain weight, and your waist has to be a certain size. I couldn't do the Too Many Unknown Soldier because I'm too tall. I think it's like 5'8", 5'9", and in a certain weight. I forget what the exact dimensions are on it. I think they spend 30 minutes walking. I think it's 30 minutes. It ain't much longer. It might be even shorter than that. The rest of their time they're on duty, they're going over their uniform, 6 hours over their uniform, making sure it is spotless, perfect, nothing wrong with it. They carefully examine their uniform to make sure there's no imperfections as they go out there to honor those that have fallen that we don't know about, know their names. Hours they spend on their uniform examining it. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the what? Faith. Look, you might want to judge me on this and say, preacher, you're just mean. But everybody that comes up to me and says they're saved, I take it with a grain of salt. Well, preacher, I'm saved. Let me see you over about a 5-year period. And then even then, that's not my judgment call. There was an old preacher said this one time. Somebody come up, I've been saved. All right, we'll find out in 5 years. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. What does your life exhibit? Yeah, I've been saved, but I ain't been in church in 25 years. But yeah, God did something for me back then. And I ain't saying you're lost, but you sure making me scratch my head. Because I don't understand that kind of salvation, brethren. I don't understand that kind of salvation. I understand a salvation that produces a difference in somebody's life. I ain't saying you can't fall back on God. I ain't saying that at all. I know a good brother was out on God for 17 years, but God was all over him those 17 years, and now he's back in the church trying to live for God. What I'm saying is he couldn't get away with it. If you can go out here and do what you need to do, and God don't deal with you, God don't chasten you, God doesn't give you a spanking because you're his child, because he loves you, you might just be a bastard. That's a Bible word, Hebrews chapter number 12. You might just had a birth, a stillbirth. Brethren, I love you this morning. Too late in the game for preacher, you got to play games. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Don't you realize what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 13:5? Don't you realize that God is inside of you? Prove your own selves. Don't you know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you're saved this morning, is inside you, brother? Jesus is in you. His Spirit is within you. The people in the Old Testament they didn't have that. When you get saved and born again, God now dwells within you and you now dwell within him. Paul is trying to get the Christians here to realize Jesus is in you. Man, I want to get a hold of that even more. God, help me to get a hold of that principle and more, to realize that you are in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that will do? That'll help me check up more. If I dwell more and think on that God, Jesus Christ, is in me through the Holy Spirit of God, that'll help me check up how I live my life so that I don't offend him. God's not only in heaven, he's in you. He says, Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. You might not realize that Jesus is in you. You might not realize that you're not saved. You might not realize that you've never been truly born again. Why? Because you're a reprobate. What does reprobate mean? Not enduring proof or trial. You know, one of the ways I know I'm saved is not only does the Holy Spirit bear witness to my spirit that I'm saved, but I've seen God bring me through things in my life that only he could bring me through, that I couldn't do in my own power, to where I have to say God did this. There's no other explanation but God did this. This is evident in my life, not because of some wonderful and great person I am. No, it's because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Has there been things in your life to where you can point back and say, yes, I could see that Jesus Christ helped me through this, did this for me, carried me through this situation? Except you be reprobate. Reprobate also means this. It means disallowed, rejected, abandoned in sin or error, apostasy. Except you be abandoned in sin and error, apostasy. How does a church slip into apostasy? It forgets that Jesus Christ is in them. It's not my will be done. but thine. John says, I must decrease, he must increase. For you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're now Jesus Christ, called to be a saint, called to be sanctified. I'm almost done, but I'm going to ask you this question. Take your Bible, look at Luke 16, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 16, and look at verses 1 and 2. I have a question with these verses. Luke 16, 1 and 2. Luke chapter 16. I'm going to ask a question after reading these two verses. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. And he said unto his disciples, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. The question I have is, how is your stewardship? Now, I'm not talking to anybody that might be lost. I'm talking to saved individuals. How is your stewardship? Are you living for Christ Jesus or yourself? What does your life reflect, and where is the emphasis? You see, one day, those of us who are truly born again will have to give an account of our stewardship, how we lived for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what is the definition of a steward? In scripture and in theology, it's a minister of Christ whose duty it is to dispense the provisions of the gospel. It's not talking about a minister like a preacher. If you're saved, we're all ministers of Jesus Christ. Are you about your Father's business? How is your stewardship? If you today were have to give an account to Jesus Christ for how you have been as a steward for Him, what would it look like? How is your stewardship? Lastly, is what you offer unto the Lord, your body, soul, spirit, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb? You see, first, have you been redeemed and sanctified? Are you saved this morning? And if you are saved, I'm going to close with these thoughts. Is your daily offering up unto the Lord acceptable? Or is it tainted with selfishness, pride, arrogancy, willful ignorance, and sin? What does the Lord require of us? What does God require of us? He requires of us to be sanctified, to be saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for God hath not called us unto cleanness, but unto holiness. Flip over real quick and look at Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23 and verse number 17. Leviticus 23, verse number 17. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 17. We'll read verse 18. And ye shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Offering these animals without blemish, without spot, is pleasing in the sight of our Lord. And lastly, let's close with 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Peter 1, 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now, I want to close with this thought. Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at 1 Peter chapter... You want to know how special what you have is? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the thing, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You see, what you have in Jesus Christ this morning, what the prophets searched diligently for and studied and saw by the Spirit of Christ, it says that even the angels, which things the angels desire to look into. You know how it puzzles angels. A preacher said this one time, I'm not going to hear it right. He said, some Christians are a puzzle to angels and a delight to devils. Old preacher said that one time. I didn't completely say it right, but it was along those lines of, a lot of Christians are a puzzle to angels and a delight to devils. A puzzle to the angels of, like, do they not realize what they have? Do they not realize that Jesus Christ died for them? Do they not realize that God, manifested in the flesh, came to that filthy, defiled, sinful earth, lived among his filthy, sinful, defiled creatures? And not only did he live among them, the angels scratched their head when God, manifested in the flesh, became sin for them that they might have righteousness through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. That is a puzzle to the angels in heaven. And they desire to look into the strange thing that God did for his creatures, mankind. May God help us to grasp what Jesus Christ has done for us. May God help us to grasp what we have in Jesus Christ, our God. Which things the angels desire to look into. Look what he says in verse 13 then. Wherefore, because of these things that I just talked about and are written in the scriptures, wherefore, because of these things, gird up the loins of your mind. You know where the battle starts with you, brethren? In the mind. In the mind. The battleground is not the fellow brother or sister in the Lord that you disagree with. The battleground starts in the mind. That's where it starts. The devil will place a thought. He'll mess with your mind. He'll get you discouraged. But realize what you have, angels desire to look into it. Wherefore, because of that, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, saints called to be sanctified, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. There's things you did when you were lost. There's things the way you live when you were lost because you were ignorant. But now that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shined in your heart and you've been made a new creature in him as obedient children, don't fashion yourself according to your former lusts and your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you to what? To be a saint, sanctified. But he which hath called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye should call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We're to pass the time that we live here as saints of God. Peter says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Don't get lackadaisical. Don't get backslidden. Don't just coast. Realize someday you're going to have to stand before God and account for your stewardship. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Your redemption cost God his son and his own blood. You were redeemed by the blood of God. Jesus Christ shed that blood. That was God's blood flowing down the cross of Calvary. Do you realize how precious your redemption is? God help me then to not trodden it underfoot. I love you this morning. I wouldn't preach these things unless I did love you. But I don't want Ray Street Baptist Church someday to get home to heaven and regret. Or say, why didn't I know? I want Ray Street Baptist Church to purify itself even as he is pure. Starting with me. Starting with me. God, help me to be pure. Help me to be purified, Lord. And then help the precious brethren as well. So that someday when we give an account for our stewardship, God can look at us and say someday, hopefully, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Turn to where there'll be no regret. But we are about our Father's business. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready for the battle. If you're not already in it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Don't get drunk with the things of this world. Don't let this world deceive you in thinking that happiness is found in it. Be sober and realize that happiness, joy, peace, comfort comes from a walk and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Called to be saints. How is your stewardship this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help, dear God. I pray you'd help. I pray you'd help me, Lord. Lord, help us to get a hold of these things, dear God. Help us to meditate upon them, Lord. Help us to dwell upon them, dear God. Help us to think about these things that angels desire to look into. Angels desire to look into it. God, help me not just to take it for granted. Lord, help me not to take it flippantly, Lord, as if it's just some other thing. Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to realize I was redeemed with not silver and gold, corrupt silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Help me to be the saint that you desire for me to be. And Lord, I pray you just help these precious brethren, Lord, to live for you, to walk with you, and to be obedient and faithful, Lord, to the will that you'd have in their own lives. And Lord, I also pray this morning, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, they've never been truly born again, converted, translated from darkness to light, they're blind, but they've never seen, Lord. I pray you'd help them, Lord. Help them to see what Jesus Christ, your son, did on the cross of Calvary and how he shed his blood, Lord, that our sins can be washed away and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, help us to glorify you now. Lord, I pray you protect everybody as we head home, Lord. Give a safe trip on the roadways, Lord. And Lord, I pray, if it be your will, you bring us back safely again this evening. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 476, if you're able to stand. We'll close with this hymn this morning, page number 476.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Christmas.